In your Bible, please, the Epistle of Jude. Under the direction of the Spirit of God, you'll remember that Jude intended to write a letter of celebration and communion, celebrating and fellowshipping around the church's common salvation. But the Spirit of God moved Jude to move from a letter of celebration and communion to a letter of challenge. Contend for the faith. The faith once for all delivered to the saints. Why? Certain men had crept in. They had come in. They are already condemned, but they have brought with them a distortion of the grace of God. They bring with them a denial of the person and work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Certain men have crept in. Men who are already under judgment. They distort grace. They deny Christ. This conduct is deserving of condemnation. And Jude reminds us that this has always been the case. Those who came out of Egypt, who were disbelieving in the wilderness, were doomed. They were destroyed. The angels who left their domain, who took on the bringing of sin to a new height by introducing a new human breed, the relationship of angels with women, a complete depraved disregard for the divine order of things. These angels are doomed to destruction. Sodom and Gomorrah, just like the angels who had this depraved disregard for the divine order, Sodom and Gomorrah, in their depravity, perverted human sexuality, homosexuality, lesbianism. Result? Destruction. This is true of those who have gone before. In the same way, these men are set apart for destruction. They, in verse 8, are by dreaming, defiling the flesh, and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. They have a depraved, total disregard for the divine order of things. In contrast to that is Michael, the archangel, who deferred to divine authority when the devil wanted the body of Moses. These men, though, follow in the same trend of those who have gone before with behavior deserving of destruction. They go the way of Cain. And we have seen in verse 11 in our previous studies, this again, a defiant disregard for the acceptable provision of acceptance with God. the shedding of blood. The way of Cain is a defiant disregard for the acceptable provision. No one comes to a relationship with the true and the living God apart from the provision of the shed blood. This morning, once again, we return to those that have gone the error of Balaam. A decadent disregard for the divine appointed people of God. A decadent disregard for the appointed, divinely appointed purpose of God. This is the way of Baal. This is the error of Baal. Decadence, disregard for the divinely appointed people, Israel, for God's divinely appointed purpose, the master plan of Messiah. And so we return this morning to Numbers chapter 22, where Balak, you remember, is desiring to have Balaam curse the appointed people. Chapter 22. Then the sons of Israel journeyed and camped in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan opposite Jericho. Remember the tribe of Moab? Descendants of Abraham through Lot and that incestuous relationship that he had with his eldest daughter. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, the highlanders. They had destroyed them. So Moab was in great fear because of the people, for they were numerous, and Moab was in dread of the sons of Israel. We know that he really should not have been, because in God's master plan of Messiah, he had already told Moses not to do anything to the people of Moab, the descendants of Lot through his eldest daughter, or the Ammonites, because they were, again, descendants of Abraham through Lot. Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this horde will lick up all that is around us as the ox licked up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of Moab at that time. So he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, a people came out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the surface of the land, and they are living opposite me." Balaam is a prophet. He is a false prophet, but he is, as we have seen and we will see again this morning, not a pagan prophet. He is a prophet of the people, but he is a prophet for profit. He has and continues to make himself available to whoever will pay for his services. He is living in Mesopotamia. No doubt he's living there because the false prophets were to be judged in the land among the people of Israel. They weren't always, but they were to be stoned. And so he is living in Mesopotamia. No fear of stoning there, just financial security and success. And he's been very successful. He is well known. And so Balak, the king of Moab, sends for him for his services to curse Israel. "Now therefore, please come and curse this people, for since they are too many for me, perhaps I may be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. You've been successful. I'm willing to pay for this service. Come and curse this people. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fees of divination. Let's get the devil's work done, and we can do that by way of paying off the prophet, getting him to do the bidding of the devil, not the divine one, Yahweh, Jehovah. He said to them when they came, so the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with fees of divination in their hand. They came to Balaam and repeated Balak's words to him. He said to them, spend the night here. He didn't send them away. He says, spend the night here. I will bring word back to you as the Lord, Yahweh, may speak to me. He is not calling upon Baal. He is not calling upon any pagan god. He's going to the true and the living God. And the leaders of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then Elohim, God, came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? Balaam said to Elohim, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent word to me. And this is what he said. Behold, there is a people who came out of Egypt. Then they cover the surface of the land. Now come, curse them for me. Perhaps I may be able to fight against them and to drive them out. Elohim, Almighty God, said to Balaam, do not go with them. You shall not curse this people, for they are blessed. Abrahamic covenant. Abram, leave your home. I have a place for you. You are going to be a precious, unique, set apart people. You will be a powerful people. You will prosper at my hand. You will be protected from all that is around you. And through your posterity, through your seed, all the peoples on the earth will be blessed. That's the master plan of Messiah. The anointed will come through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Christ. You can't curse this people. They are blessed. So Balaam rose in the morning, said to Balak and his leaders, go back to your land, for Yahweh has refused to let me go with you. The leaders of Moab rose, went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Then Balak again sent leaders more numerous and more distinguished. It's a power play. They came to Balaam and said, thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I beg you, hinder you from coming to me, for I will indeed honor you richly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Please come then, curse this people for me. He sweetens the pot. He sends those of some stature in Moab, taking more money. But the response is not what he desires. Balaam replied to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me this house full of silver and gold, I could not do anything, either small or great, contrary to the command of the Lord my God. If there's any question that Balaam is a prophet of the people, he identifies himself with the true and the living God, Yahweh, the self-existing one. It's his God. It looks good, but what he says here, that he's not going to take the money. But that's not what his heart is saying. That's what he is stating. I know that because I kept on reading. Balaam replied, "No matter how much silver or gold you give me, I can't do contrary to the command of the Lord my God." Now please, you also stay here tonight, and I will find out what else Yahweh, the Lord, will speak to me. I can't guarantee a curse, but don't go away yet. I'm going to see if I can come up with something. He ultimately will. Numbers 31. He gives instruction to the Midianites to infiltrate Israel by giving their women to the Israelites, and a plague takes over. But not yet. But you see where his heart is. He is a prophet for profit. And he ain't given up yet. I can't guarantee that I can curse this people, but hang in there. I might come up with something. Now, please, you also stay here tonight. I'll speak to the Lord, see what can come about. God came to Balaam that night and said to him, "If the men have come to call you, rise up, go with them. But only the word which I speak to you shall you do." Remember Pharaoh? Moses went to Pharaoh. "Let my people go." Ain't going to happen. Things aren't going to go well if you don't. And we know what took place. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened so that he continued to go against the will of God. He was a pawn, though, in the master plan. That was exactly what God had planned to take place for the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. Same thing happening with Baal. He's a pawn. He is a pawn in the master plan of Messiah. What you're going to say is what I once said, not what Balak once. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the leaders of Moab. The donkey was a beast of burden, but it was not some thing that was not important or insignificant. Pharaoh himself rode on a donkey. Abram rode on a donkey. Jacob. Moses. Even our Lord and Savior came on a donkey. He's coming back on a white horse, but he came first as a servant on a donkey. He's going. He's on his donkey, on his ass. But Elohim, Almighty God, was angry because he was going. Now, it looks as though God just said, "Go ahead. You're a pawn. My plan is a perfect plan. You're a part of it. But your motivation is wrong." He's being moved to Moab for one reason: money. Total decadent disregard for the divinely appointed people. And the divinely appointed purpose of God. He could care less. Got one motive, money, and he's moving. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, the donkey turned off the way and went into the field. But Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the way. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path of the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord. She pressed herself to the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. The angel of the Lord went further, stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down. She lay down under Balaam. So Balaam was angry and struck the donkey with his stick. And Yahweh, the Lord, opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said to Balaam, "What have you done? What have I done to you that you struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a mockery of me." He is now in the presence of this entourage sent from Moab. They're very important, powerful men. And they've got a lot of money with them. He has his own servants. And here, this beast of burden is making him look like a fool. "I would have killed you." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do so to you?" He said, "No, I've been dependable. What you're missing is there's a purpose in my performance. What I'm doing is for your own good. But you're too dumb an ass to understand that." Really, it's a donkey speaking to a donkeyer. The Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed all the way to the ground. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out as an adversary against you because your way was contrary to me. You have a decadent disregard for my divinely appointed people and my divinely appointed purpose. Your only concern? Personal profit. I'm against you." The donkey saw me, turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, I would have surely killed you just now and let her go. I'm not going to kill the wrong ass. Donkey. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me." That's good so far. He doesn't stop there. "Now then, if it is displeasing to you, I will turn back." The donkey got it. You haven't. There's no ifs. This is displeasing what you're doing. It's a total disregard for the divinely appointed people and divinely appointed purpose of God. But the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but you shall speak only the word which I tell you." So Balaam went along with the leaders of Balak. He is a pawn, just like Pharaoh, in the master plan of Messiah. You, Balaam, have a part to play in my master plan. When Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him in the city of Moab, which is on the Arnon, the border, at the extreme end of the border. And Balak said to Balaam, did I not urgently send to you? Why did you not come to me? Am I really unable to honor you? May I remind you, Balaam? I got a ton of cash for this curse. I can make you very rich. So Balaam said to Balak, behold, I've come now. Yeah, there's still a possibility of some profit here. I've come now to you. Am I able to speak anything at all? The word that Elohim Almighty God puts in my mouth, that shall I speak. I cannot guarantee the curse, but we ain't quitting yet. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kirith Huzoth. Balak sacrificed oxen and sheep and sent them to Balaam and the leaders who were with him. Balak is calling upon Baal, pagan god, and he is involving Balaam, who is a prophet of the people, although when going bad, to participate with him in this pagan worship. He sacrificed oxen and sheep and sent some to Balaam and the leaders who were with him. Then it came about in the morning that Balak took Balaam, brought him up to a high place of the high places of Baal, and he saw from there a portion of the people. Balak says, We're gonna try it my way. If you're telling me there's no guarantee through your God, we're gonna try Baal's way. I want you to get a different perspective. I'm going to take you up so you can see this people. I want you to really comprehend the dilemma I'm in. You need a more pagan perspective. Right now you got a prejudiced perspective. I can only do what Jehovah, Yahweh, tells me to say and to do. But maybe there's still some hope. Balak says, we'll try it Baal's way. Balaam said to Balak, chapter 23, build 7 altars for me and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me. We're not going that way. We're not going the pagan route. We're going to go the preferred route, the true and the living God's way. This looks good. We're going to offer up sacrifices. Balak did just as Balaam had spoken. He'll do anything to get these people cursed. He's desperate. And Balak and Balaam offered up a bull and a ram on each altar. And Balaam said to Balak, stand beside your burnt offering. That is the acceptable means of worship of the true and the living God as set forth under the Levitical system. I understand that there are those fine Bible teachers that think that Balaam was not a prophet of the people. He is. He's gone bad. He's a prophet for profit. But he's offering up the proper sacrifice. Now, burnt offering. If there's any possible way to profit from this, I'm going to do my best. Stand by your burnt offering. Perhaps, maybe there's a chance, Yahweh will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you. No guarantees, but I'm willing to give it another shot. Now Elohim, Almighty God, met Balaam, and he said to him, I have set up the 7, he says to the Lord, I have set up the 7 altars. I have offered up the bull and ram on each altar. Then Yahweh, true and the living God, Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak, and you shall speak thus. So he returned to him, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering, acceptable sacrifice, and he and all the leaders of Moab, he took up his discourse and said, "From Aram, Balak has brought me, who adds king from the mountains of the east. Come, curse Jacob for me, and come denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom Elohim, Almighty God, has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom Yahweh, the Lord, has not denounced? As I see him from the top of the rocks, and I look at him from the hills, behold, a people who dwells apart." This is a special set apart people and will not be reckoned among the nations. They're different. "Who can count the dust of Jacob? They're prolific, they're powerful, or the number, the fourth part of Israel. Let me die the death of the upright." I should really be a part of this people. They're God's chosen. And let my end be like his, Israel's. They're a special people. They're an appointed people. There's an appointed purpose for this people. I really want to identify with them. But there's an underlying motive that is overwhelming. It's hard to believe. But the underlying motive? Money. Profit. That's how decadent this prophet has come to be. Then Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, but behold, you've actually blessed them." He replied, "Must I not be careful to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth? I told you, no guarantees." Then Balak said to him, "Please come with me to another place. Try another perspective from where you see them, although you will not only see the extreme of them and will not see all of them, and curse them for me. Let's try this again." So he took him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, offered bull and ram on each altar. And he said to Balak, "Stand here beside your burnt offering while I myself meet Yahweh over there." And Yahweh met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and thus you shall speak." He came to him, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering. He'll try anything. He's going back to the Lord to get this done. But his motive is money. And the leaders of Moab were with him, and Balak said to him, "What has the Lord spoken?" "Yahweh, the true and the living God." And he took up his discourse and said, "Arise, O Balak, and hear. Give ear to me, O son of Zippor. Elohim, God, is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will it not he not make good?" We sang earlier this morning, "Great is thy faithfulness." God always acts. His conduct is totally consistent with his character. He is a faithful God, and what he has promised, he's going to perform. He has given his promise to this people, Israel. He has given this people a purpose for being, to be that which the seed of Abraham, the Christ, would come. "Behold, I have received the command to bless when he has blessed. Then I cannot revoke it. He has not observed misfortune for Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. Yahweh, the Lord, his God, is with him, and the shout of the king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He is for them like the horns of the wild ox. For there is no omen against Jacob, nor is there any divination against Israel. The devil cannot deter the divine plan of God." He doesn't quit, but he can't deter it. At the proper time it shall be said to Jacob and to Israel, what God has done. Behold, a people rises like a lioness, and as a lion it lifts itself. This is an appointed people. It will not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. It has an appointed purpose. Then Balak said to Balaam, do not curse them at all, nor bless them. Just shut up. But Balaam replied to Balak, did I not tell you, whatever the Lord speaks, that I must do? No guarantee of the curse, but he still is hanging in there. Then Balak said to Balaam, please come, and I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will be agreeable with Elohim, Almighty God, that you curse them for me from there. Another perspective. Both of them are really persistent in this. So Balak took Balaam to the top of Beor, which overlooks the wasteland. Balaam said to Balak, we'll do it again. Build 7 altars for me here and prepare 7 bulls, 7 rams for me. Balak, in desperation, did just as Balaam had said and offered up a bull and a ram on each altar. When Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as at other times to seek omens, but he set his face toward the wilderness. No more efforts to cut a deal. It's a done deal. Try these 3 times. Game, set, match. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camping tribe by tribe, and the Spirit of God came upon him. He took up his discourse and said, the oracles of Balaam, the son of Peor, and the oracle of the man whose eyes is open, the oracle of him who hears the words of Almighty God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, the master plan, falling down yet having his eyes uncovered. How fair are your tents, O Jacob? These are a precious people, protected, prosperous, through whom their posterity, all the world will be blessed. Your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, prolific, prosperous, like gardens beside the river, like aloes planted by the Lord. They provide healing, aloes, the anointed, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from his buckets, and his seed will be by many waters. It's a productive people. And his king shall be higher than Agag. Powerful people. The Messiah will come, the King of Kings, and his kingdom shall be exalted. The millennial kingdom, part of the plan, part of the promise. God brings him out of Egypt. He is for him like the horns of the wild ox. He will devour the nations who are his adversaries. He will crush their bones in pieces and shatter them with his arrows. He crouches, he lies down as a lion who dares rouse him. Blessed is everyone who blesses you, and cursed is everyone who cursed you. Balak goes ballistic. His anger burned against Balaam. He struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies. But behold, you have persisted in blessing them these 3 times. Therefore, flee to your place now. I said I would honor you greatly, but behold, Yahweh has held you back from honor. No curse, no cash. Balaam said to Balak, did I not tell you? Did I not tell your messengers? Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not do anything contrary to the command of the Lord, either good or bad, of his own accord. What the Lord speaks, that I will speak. Doesn't stop there. Wish it did, because it looks like Balaam's finally got the picture and is submitting. But look what happens. And now behold, I'm going to my people, going back to the Jews. Come, and I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the days to come. His motive hasn't changed. This is the way, the error of Balaam. It is a decadent disregard for the appointed people, Israel. It's a decadent disregard for the divinely appointed purpose of Almighty God, the master plan of Messiah. Certain men have crept in. They're already condemned, as has been consistent with the character of God. He judges all manner of conduct that is deserving of condemnation. Proven in the past, he's going to do it again. These certain men are now here. Depraved disregard for the acceptable provision of acceptance before the true and the living God, the shed blood. They've gone the way of Cain, the error of Balaam. Decadent disregard for the divinely appointed people, Israel, special, a place in God's plan. His purpose, the master plan of Messiah, to bring about the anointed, the Christ, through whom all the peoples on the earth will be blessed. Father, thank you. Thank you this morning that we are reminded that we are to contend for the faith. For there are those who have crept in, distort grace, deny Christ. A decadent, depraved disregard for your people, for your purpose. But by your mercy and grace, may we stand true, faithful, proclaiming the gospel of grace, the good news that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried in the third day, rose from the dead according to the scriptures. Thank you for the grace that you've extended to us, that we might become your beloved, special people, to your eternal praise. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.